God's wrath for our sins came upon His Son, Jesus Christ, in order that we might live, as we hear in this opening comment from Mike McIntosh.
But He's not full of wrath for you because He put all of His wrath for you and me on His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross. Was covered. But you say, oh, well, in that case, should I go out and sin some more? No, you don't. Do you understand that? Everything that you have done, everything that you will do, but you look at that and you say, God came down here in the flesh and He killed His only begotten Son for me? That's right. Now, if He, pertaining to eternal life, would redeem His own Son, how much more will He redeem you and me?
And I'll stand up and shout and praise You, Lord Jesus.
Welcome to the Wednesday broadcast of Chapter and Verse, where our teacher, Mike McIntosh, will be continuing our daily verse-by-verse study of the book of Romans. If you've ever felt you were not worthy of God's salvation, if you've thought that you've done things that make it impossible for God to love you, then you're not alone. And these studies in Romans should have special meaning to you. This book is much more than a theological explanation of God's redeeming grace. It's a letter of comfort and confidence addressed to you personally. It should bring great consolation to know that Jesus is interceding in heaven for each Christian. And remember, it's Satan, not God, who accuses us. The Holy Spirit will convict us of sin, but always with the hope of restoration. Satan condemns us with the goal of separating us from God. Now let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans and listen to Pastor Mike McIntosh for part two of the message, I Tell You the Truth in Christ.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me, but, you know, and she just went into it. So confident. So confident. That's how you should be. So confident. Whatever comes your way, if you back into somebody's car and they come flaming out, stoned, and they want to sue and all that jive, that you know that a soft answer turns away wrath. You didn't get that in some program. You got that from God. He's telling you how to interact with people. You learn so much about yourself, but you also learn how to read people and understand people in relationship to God. You know the right person from the wrong person when you've got God above all. And when you've got His Word above all, you're not going to be a rat. You're going to do your best to do things the correct way. I tell you the truth, I'm not lying. My conscience, it's bearing witness. That's what Paul's saying. What I want you to grasp is from heaven, not from man. It's the Word of God has not taken effect, nor are they all children, because they are in the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac. In Isaac your seed shall be called, that is, those who are the children of flesh. These are not the children of God, but we, the children of the promise, are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise, quote, at this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And she did a year later, 90 years old, had a baby. That was a promise. That was a sign from God. Quote, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had received by one man, even by our father Isaac. For the children, underline this please, for the children not yet born. For the children not yet born. God has a concern for the children that are not yet born. I should have a concern for the children that are not yet born. Anybody that has received eternal life and had their past life wiped away should be concerned for the children that are not yet born. God had a concern. Nor these children not yet born, having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him who calls. It was said to her, the older, this is a quote again, shall serve the younger. And as it is written, Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated. What shall I say then? Is there unrighteousness? What shall we say? With God? Is God unrighteous because he just said, I love one over another? And Evan's going to come out and we're going to worship right now. But this thought I'd like to sink into your soul as we worship God. He uses Moses. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I'll have compassion. Here's how it works. God is God. You and I can't change him. He made us, and he can change us if we let him, but he won't change us if you don't want to. So God has mercy, which we need, because he could just let our lives fall apart right now. And he gives compassion to us that we're so weak. And he fills us with his Holy Spirit of promise. And he feeds us with his word. So here's what's happened. We divide the room right down the half. This has nothing to do with any of you personally. These people all have hard hearts over here. And you all have compassion. These people are going their way. They're complete idiots. So don't even deal with them because you'll get in trouble. They're not idiots. Their hearts are hard. They're partying hard. They're stealing. They're just living up the flesh, whatever they want to do. And yet, you have compassion and mercy on this side because God shared the opportunities with both sides. And those that choose to reject God, their heart is hard. And they go off this way. And yet this side chose God. They get the mercy and the compassion. It isn't that he wouldn't give both sides mercy and compassion. It's that this side didn't want it. Does that make sense? No, you say? Oh, okay, I hope so. I just made it up, so I'm hoping that it's working, right? Okay, so you guys are all blessed. You'll get double blessings for being this role. You're not bad people at all. The scripture says, many are called, but few are chosen. You see, well, Mike McIntosh, you were chosen. Well, I wasn't the Mike McIntosh I am today, up to 26 years old. I was a riot, ready to break out. And God controlled my wild spirit. And I was born again. And I began reading, and I began accepting the choices of the scripture of how to love my wife as Jesus loved the church, and how to discipline my children and be an authority with love. And so he showed me through the scriptures how to discipline, but always give the hug afterwards, because when he disciplines, he always gives us a big hug afterwards. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, saith the Lord. Other people, best friends leave us and forsake us, dads leave us and forsake us, but God will never leave you on this side or that side. But if either side chooses to go their own way, they had all the opportunity in his huge power of predestination and foreknowledge of what you would choose, because he sees the end. So he says to these people, I've worked with them their whole life. I know I won't change them. So he lets them go with their choice. And for this side that's saying, I love God, I'm doing my best, and you slip and you fall, then the devil comes in and says, you know, you're just a jerk. And God isn't going to forgive you for this. If he does, behind the scenes, he's telling the angels that he doesn't like you as much as your brother. No, he doesn't do that. He's pouring out love because he's love. God is love. And both sides of the room are being filled with his promises and his truth and his love and the Holy Spirit. And everyone can rejoice in that, or only half the room can rejoice in that. And if it isn't enough to know that you're going to live for eternity, I don't know what would be enough for you. Your appetite would never be satisfied. If to know that at any moment your breath could stop and you would be standing before the God of all creation, that I rejected him, that would be pretty dumb of me. But if I humble myself in the sight of the Lord, he will exalt me in due time. And that time will come when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And he says, enter into the kingdom. Well done, good and faithful servant. Hey, Lord, It's us. You know, the people from the right side of the gymnasium? We knew your name. We cast demons out in it. We read the Bible. We went to services. Let us in. And Jesus said, the master of the house would say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. Now, what does he mean by that? He wants to know you. There is a group of people that will never get close to Jesus. Don't be one of those people. Be one that'll be humble and meek before him. Say, Jesus, without you, I can do nothing. Please help me. Help me with my grades. Help me with school. Help me with my health. Help me with anything. Just help me. Jesus will help you. And let him pour out blessings, not because you earned them. Just receive grace gracefully. It's nothing that we have done or we ever could do. He loves you. He's protecting you. He's guarding you. He's looking after you. He's providing for you. For 40 years in the desert, they never had to buy new sandals or clothes. God provided for them. That would be a trial in itself for some people, I know, clothes horses. But he provided for them all the food. They never got a job anywhere. A couple million of them, you know, walking around. And he took care of them. Surrender your life totally to him as Lord, just not as Savior. And you'll find a whole new opportunity to see into the kingdom of God. So in closing, for the children that are not yet being born, nor they're so young and they haven't lived a life, done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works but of him who calls. And it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. Usually it's the younger serving the older. It's written, Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated. Jacob brought blessings to God. Esau never did. Esau, you can follow the Arabs. Jacob, you can follow the Jews. And when Jacob would sin, he would make an offering and build an altar and worship the Lord. We have no record of Esau doing such a thing other than when he was starving one day. His brother said, give me your birthright, the younger, the older, and I will give you a pot of beans. And his brother says, what good is a birthright when it's lunchtime and you're hungry? And he offended God. I don't want to offend God. I don't want you to offend God. I want you to know him and walk with him and talk with him and trust him. Let him be there in the major and the minor decisions. And when you're sitting there with some friends and you're enjoying everything, just say, thank you, God, for this evening with my friends. Thank you, God, for that teacher letting me have an extra day to do my essay. Thank you, God, that you are looking after me even though I don't have anybody to provide for me. Thank you, God, is a nice thing to have in your vocabulary 100 times a day at least. Forgive me, God, should be there 1,000. Pray unceasingly, and one of the reasons is you pray unceasingly so you can ask forgiveness all day long. It'll keep you out of trouble if you do that. Please stand. Father, we come to you. We say thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that there is something going on that we don't understand. But from this early entree to the 9th chapter, we carry all the promises and the blessings of chapter 8. And we go on with life. And we realize there are two people living on this planet. There are the people that are not following God. They're not following you, Father. They're not following Jesus. And they're not being led by the Holy Spirit. And then there are those that are desperately in love for you and have a need to just be with you all day. Help us be those people. That as we're quietly worshiping you at work and serving some clients or customers, they'll see the love of God coming forth from us. Lord, please, bless my brothers and sisters. Fill this campus with the love of the Holy Spirit. Let everyone that comes here know that they're in your hands and they've been prayed for. And the peace that passes all understanding would rule in all of our hearts through Jesus Christ. So, Father, don't let us offend you. Don't let us anger you. Help us to be humble people filled with your righteousness and your peace and love. As our heads are bowed, take this moment to just quietly thank God for your life. Just thank him. He gave you this life. He lets you make the choices. He's not making them for you. He's always available for counsel night or day if you need help making a decision. Big one or small one, he'll help you. He'll shine the light in dark areas and you'll find people that you trust that are deceiving you. He'll shine light in areas of people that desperately need your love and your friendship and your support that you didn't know they were hurting. Start praying for some of those people right now. And if there is even a short list of people that you could look at and say, I hate that man, I hate that woman, I hate that boy, I hate that girl, just start asking God to forgive you for that hatred. Let it go. Just ask God to forgive you and to bless those people who have done wrong to you. Bless them. The Bible says when you bless those who persecute you, it's like pouring hot coals on their head when you're nice to them. Just let all those people go. Be free. And for those of you that'll be honest while we're praying, that you came in godless without God, and you will admit that you have never repented of your sins or asked God to forgive you, you've never really asked Jesus to come off that cross and come into your heart. But today, if you're willing, say this simple prayer with me. Dear God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I confess to you that I am a sinner. And Jesus, thank you for dying in my place. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill me with eternal life. And that you would use me for your honor and your glory. Forgive me of my sins in Jesus' name. Now, those of you that prayed that while we have our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to pray for you. If you've made that prayer, you are making a change today that you're going to trust God, though you don't understand it all, but you do understand that somebody has died for you, and you're going to accept that ransom for your sin. Would you just raise your hand up and look at me while others are praying, and I'd like to just see you and pray for you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, in the very last row on my right. Yes, ma'am, right in front of him. Gray t-shirt, black hair, stripes. And yes, over here on my right, this lady. So, Father, we thank you. Yes, sir. We thank you so much for these people. A choice was made with their own free will of which way they're going to go. And we thank you for this moment in history that they have surrendered and will surrender to you. Now we all that know you, welcome them into the family of God, and we pray that you will look after them and protect them and help them grow spiritually. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yesterday morning at the beach, there was a pelican. He was a young guy. He wasn't very old, maybe less than a year. And he was sitting in this little rowboat. And a guy wanted to get him out so he didn't nest there. So started following him. He got out of the boat, but he walked kind of funny and he didn't fly away. And as we looked closer, he had a fishing line wrapped around a wing and down the middle and up the side. And he had a hook in his mouth and hooks all over his body. And he was in a lot of pain, to say the least. He didn't have his mom or his dad. So a couple of us, I held him down. Another guy got his beak. And we just held him, put a towel over him, and just stroked him and talked to him for about an hour and a half till the animal control could come. And she told me, the animal control officer, that this is an epidemic that is happening among these young pelicans. And there were a lot of fishermen that were along the sand there, and they said that this happens, that they put out their lines with lots of hooks on them, and they do live bait. So when the live bait is skimming on the top of the water, apparently the fish come up, grab the bait, and that's when these young pelicans dive, and they get in the wire, and so they have to cut them loose. And they haven't been taught yet how to go below the surface and come back up like an adult. So for some reason, there are thousands of them, literally, that are dying this summer. There was a huge population birth on the Channel Islands off of Santa Barbara. And from Humboldt down to Laguna Beach especially, they're all over the place. And these guys can't feed themselves. So, you know, everybody on the beach that heard that story, it was kind of sad. But there was a place that took these birds and brought them back to life. And she had 11 other calls to go to of people that were trying to help a bird. And so before she got there, she said, "I can't take the bird if you've taken out his hooks, because we have too many. They're dying. They're laying dead all over Southern California." That's kind of a strange thing when you think of it. But this poor guy had two of us holding him down, loving him. He didn't understand we're so big, what we were doing. And I was thinking how often it's like that with God, that he sends the Holy Spirit to convict us. And he gets the story of Jesus out. But we don't understand the whole thing. But right within an hour, he's going to have all these hooks out of his body and out of his wings. And then they're giving him antibiotics. And they're not going to let him die. And they're giving him a brand new life. He didn't understand that. And I didn't learn yet how to speak pelican. I'm still struggling with Spanish. I tried it on the bird, but he didn't speak Spanish either. It was a strange deal. So what I'm saying is this. As that bird twisted his neck and the guy would have to grab his beak and I'd have to set his body right again and stroke him and talk to him, don't fight. Surrender to God. Sin comes like those hooks in there. Ooh, it gets you here and your tongue starts speaking bad things. Hooked in your heart and hooks in your ears and you don't hear right and you don't see right. You don't speak right. And it's just a short time and all of your pain's going to be gone. You're going to be in heaven in a new body and you'll know the whole story. So don't fight. Just say, "Thy will be done in my life here on earth as it should be in heaven." And God will do just that for you. You know why? I can absolutely tell you this as a truth. Because he loves you. He loves you so much, it's going to take eternity for him to express it to you. And it's just going to take a little bit of faith for us to let go and let God. When the struggle is over, we realize there's two families on this planet. One that belongs to God and one that belongs to the other guy. But as we look at the rest of this chapter and go into chapter 10, we realize God saw all this and in his wisdom, he created vessels that were fit for destruction. Why? So that you would see the glory of God and you would choose with your own free will to accept him. He's not pushing himself on you, but he will give you a revelation. You'll go, "Bingo, I get it, I get it, I get it. Wow." Well, get it and get some more, because there's a lot more in this book.
I Tell You the Truth in Christ, that's the title of our teaching today on Chapter and Verse, and this lesson has been led by pastor and teacher Mike McIntosh. Let's remember that as New Testament Christians, we have a privilege that was not shared by the original recipients of the Romans letter, because although first century believers had access to the Old Testament, they did not have all the new record to study as we do. We should be thankful for the full and free access we enjoy in God's revelation. Well, if you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Romans, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. As we close our broadcast for today, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that Chapter and Verse only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So we do appreciate you praying for this ministry. And if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacintosh.com. Now let me remind you to join us here Thursday for our next study in the book of Romans. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.